All right, if you want to turn with me now to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30. I want to tell you a story this morning. I thought about this particular format of doing it this way, and what I would like to do is just tell you a story. I want to read a story to you here from the Old Testament. And then I want to show you a picture inside the story. 1 Samuel 30. Now, to give you an understanding of what is happening here, to give you just a little bit of background information. David fled many times from Saul. You know how David, when he was young, he slew Goliath and found favor with Saul and Israel. But then, as the events went on, Saul became jealous of David, and Saul constantly pursued David's life, and he had to run from Saul, who was the king of Israel. He had to run from Saul and from Israel. And in one of these fleeings of David, he fled to the land of the Philistines. The Philistines are the people who were constantly at war with Israel. Goliath was a Philistine. But in one of these accounts, David fled to the land of the Philistines, and he and his men that were with him lived there in one of the cities of Philistia. And the Philistines once again were going to go to war with Israel, like they always did. And David, living with them, decided he and his men were going to go to war with the Philistines against Israel, against Saul. So they went out, and when they got to the battlefield, the Philistines saw that David was there, and they weren't comfortable with him being there. They said, "We're glad that you've been living with us peaceably, and you can continue to live with us, but you can't fight with us because you may turn on us and start fighting with Israel. You're from Israel." So they said, "We want you to go home. Go back to the city that you're living in." And so David and his men did. All right, now from the time David left to go fight until the time that he turned around and went back home, that was 3 days. Now let's read 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag," that's the town, that's the city in Philistia that he was living in, "came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites," those are the descendants of Amalek, who was Esau's grandson, "the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." David and his men, they came back home, and their city had been completely burned with fire. All right, verse 2. "And the Amalekites had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." What a glorious thing to consider that is. David was so distressed. He was just so distressed because he'd lost his family. He'd lost his home. And now his men who were with him they wanted to stone him. They felt like he was responsible, and they were just so distressed over their loss. But it says, in spite of all of his distress, and this is wonderful, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He had been weeping until there was no more water left in him to weep. And then he finds out his men want to stone him to death. And it says there was only one place he could go. David encouraged himself. He turned to the Lord his God and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And we can too. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. That was the garment that the priest wore. It went over the shoulders. And what that means is David made intercession to God over this. He prayed to God over this. Verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered David, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. The word of the Lord is sure, isn't it? He said, thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail you're going to recover everything. You're going to recover all. Verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. David had 600 men with him. And they took off to get their families back. But when they got to this brook Besor, it says 200 of them were so faint. They were just so distressed and so broken and so weak, they couldn't go on. So they stayed there at the brook, and 400 of them kept going. David and 400 men. Verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread. And he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, and watch this, he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days ago, 3 days agone, I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Kerethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, this young man said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. What he was saying was, you swear to me that you will make me your own. You won't kill me and you won't give me to them. Make me your own and I'll bring you down to this company. Verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. This Egyptian brought David and his men to the Amalekites, who they had just burned Ziklag, just taken all their families. And now they're eating and they're drinking and they're dancing and they're partying. They're celebrating over this victory that they had. And I'm not going to labor this point right here, but it says that David smote them from twilight to the evening of the next day. Whenever you read these commentaries, there are two twilights in a day. There's a morning twilight and an evening twilight. And some interpret this to mean from the morning twilight until the evening, which would be 12 hours. Some interpret this to mean from the evening twilight to the next evening, 24 hours. And some interpret this to mean from the evening twilight to the evening of the next day, 48 hours. Either way, whatever it was, what I want us to see is God gave extraordinary strength to David and these 400 men to slay and slay and slay, whether it was 12 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours. They slew thousands of men, all of the Amalekites, except for 400 that fled on camels. All right? Verse 18 says, and David recovered all. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks of the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. David is coming back with these 400 men and all the people they rescued and everything that they had. And those 200 meet them, and David salutes them. He says, how are you all doing? How's everybody here doing? Verse 22. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial and those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. These men were bitter, the 400 men who went, and they said, they're not getting any of this spoil. They can have their wives back and their children back, and then they need to go on their way. Verse 23. Then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you. The elders of Judah who were with David, but David was estranged from them. He sent gifts to them, gifts to his friends, saying, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. And he sent it to them which were in Bethel and to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jatir, and to them which were in Aroer, and to them which were in Siphmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rechal, and to them which were in the cities of the Jeremelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Corashan, and to them which were in Athak, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all places where David himself and his men were known, were wont to haunt. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever heard that story, but that is a wonderful story of conquering victory. All right, now let me take that story and show you a picture in it, and I believe we will be glad to see this. God called David the man after his own heart. He said David is a man after his own heart. And the reason is because he is a picture of the son of David. That's who we read about in our scripture reading a minute ago. The son of David, our Lord, who took the throne of his father David, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've titled this message, Christ Recovered All. Christ recovered all. That's what this story is picturing for us. Christ recovering all. Christ recovering all of his people from their bondage and their destruction that sin left them in. The Amalekites here, they represent our sin. They represent our bondage. They represent our wicked flesh, everything that we're captive to. They represent everything that ruined us, ruined everything that we are, everything that we have. And David represents Christ, our Redeemer, who came to us where we were and delivered us. He recovered us. He reinstated us back to our place with him. So let's look at this story one more time. I'll try to be quick about it, but I want us to see how Christ recovered all. All right. Verse 1. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. All right, that's the ruin of the bride of Christ. That's the destruction and the bondage of the people of God in sin. Verse 3. So David, Christ, and his men, they represent his strength. They also represent his law. We're going to see that, the strength of his law. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. God and his holy law saw what happened to his people. They saw the condition that they had fallen into. Verse 4 says, and David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Oh, how our Lord wept for his people. Oh, how our Lord was moved with compassion for his people. That's what started the work of redemption. Love, and for God so loved. Herein is love. He was moved with compassion for his people. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. David himself was greatly distressed. Our Lord Jesus Christ was touched with the feeling of the infirmities of his bride. That's the feelings he endured. Feelings of the infirmities of his bride. For her sake, he groaned in spirit, and he sorrowed even unto death. Verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. From the cross, our Lord prayed to his Father, saying, they have all turned on me. They have compassed me about like dogs, my own familiar friends, he said. But think about this, suffering in the place of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ cried even to his Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For the sake of his people, our Lord was marred more than any man. He was beaten. He was tortured. He said, I'm the man who hath seen affliction. But even our Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of everything that he endured to put away our sin, he comforted and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This is what he said. He said, I know, Father, that thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. I know you won't. He knew the Lord, his God and Father, would deliver him from the pit. He knew that, and he encouraged himself in that. Verse 7 says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Hebrews 4 says, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens for us. John said, he's our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our high priest that makes intercession to God for us. Verse 8. So David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Concerning our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father said in Isaiah 42, he said, "Behold my servant, the one that I've sent to bring justice and judgment, he shall not fail." He said he won't even be discouraged. Without fail, he shall recover all. Verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. We'll say something about that in just a minute. Verse 11. Watch this. I believe you'll enjoy this. Verse 11. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, "To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou?" And he said, "I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Kerethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Canst thou bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company." And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. This young Egyptian was left to die, and he'd been there 3 days. And our deliverance came from a 3-day encounter with death. Christ dying on the cross, buried in the tomb, risen on the third day. All right, now listen to this. This young Egyptian admitted to David, this is when David came to him, this is what he said. He said, "I am the very sin that has been committed against you. I'm the very sin." He said, "I was among the ones who burned Ziklag and took your families. I was one of the ones that took your family and burned your city." And David said to him, "You're going to be the one who leads me to this battle with this enemy." David picked this Egyptian boy up and carried him with them into this battle. And it was our very sin. This boy is our sin. He's a picture of our sin. It was our very sin against God which led Christ to the battle of our deliverance. In order for Christ to go to war with our death and our ruin in bondage and captivity, he had to carry our sin with him to that battle. That's how he got there. It was our very sin that brought him to the conflict. And this boy said, he said, "I'll bring you as long as you make me your very own. You make me your very own and I'll bring you there." And that's what Christ did with our sin. He bore our sin and our sorrow. He made them his very own. Verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. At the cross of Calvary, Christ ended the war. That's what he did. He accomplished the work and he won the victory. But these 400 that escaped on camels, they represent the sin that will still plague us in this flesh until the day we die. Just still plaguing us. Even though it's there, there's no threat. There's no threat. The battle is over. The victory is won. Verse 18 says, and David recovered all. That's what happened on the cross of Calvary. If someone wants to know what truly happened on the cross of Calvary, here's what it was. Christ recovered all. All of his people, all that they had lost. None of them were lost. Everything that they had was restored to them. Verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. And that's how it is with Christ our Savior. It was Christ's work. It was Christ's victory. Therefore, it's Christ's glory. All the honor, all the credit, all the glory goes to him. This is Christ's spoil. Verse 21. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial and of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. It says, all the wicked men said, and this is what wicked men say. But these 400 also represent the strength of God's law, and this is even what God's law says. This is what wicked men say, and this is what God's law says. It says, this deliverance ought to be by works. They came back to the 200 who stayed behind, and the 400 said, or the wicked men out of the 400 said, they didn't do anything. They were so weak, and they were so faint, they contributed nothing to this deliverance. They contributed nothing to this deliverance. We risked our lives. We did all the work. We should get all the reward. They should get nothing. They didn't earn it. They don't deserve it. That's what wicked men and women who are clinging to the law say. Salvation is by works. Salvation is only to those who produce the works to earn it. To them, Christ says, no, it's not. Salvation is by grace. Deliverance is a free gift from God. This is from God, equally given to every single one of his people. No matter how weak they are, no matter how faint they are, no matter how distressed they are, the inheritance, the spoil of victory is freely given to all of God's people according to the riches of his grace. Verse 22, then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. It is a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this very day, now and forever. Grace alone, grace alone. Verse 26. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them which were in Bethel, to them which were in South Ramoth, to them which were in Jatir, to them that were in Aurora, to them which were in Siphmoth, to them which were in Eshtemoah, to them which were in Rechal, to them which were in the cities of the Jeremelites, to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, to them which were in Homa, to them which were in Korashan, to them which were in Athak, to them which were in Hebron, to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. David gladly presented his reward to the elders of Judah. And concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, Jude says, the book of Jude says, Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. I hope that's been a blessing to you. I hope we've all enjoyed seeing Christ in that glorious story. Amen. All right, let's close our service by turning to hymn number 449.